Hello and welcome to the Big Happy Life podcast. I'm Natalie Britt and I'm a coach, trainer and hypnotherapist working with overthinkers like myself who are looking to shape their lives in ways that make them feel less stuck, give them more energy, vitality and greater ease of living in a way that makes them just enjoy life a bit more. Today, I'm joined by Kat and Charlotte. They are the founders of the Authentic Girls Club, a membership for women rising together. And it's really all about living in a way that fulfills you, makes you feel able to be your authentic self, builds confidence, allows women to believe more in themselves, and I think have this real sense of community where we look out for each other and we're part of something. I'm so delighted to talk to you today. Thank you for joining me. I have kind of followed your work for a long time and I really am so excited to talk to you because, as I mentioned just before we pressed record, one of the things that I have been working on in my own life is similar to you. It's about this sense of fulfillment and joy and meaning in life. And one of the things that I've kind of been playing with is this idea of moving from the seeking of happiness to living a life that is an expression of joy. I wanted to become somebody who put something into the world that added more joy for the people around me. And I'm working on it. It's actually a lot more challenging than I thought. But you have always been two people who I feel kind of embody that. Whenever I interact with you, I feel more joyful. I feel more seen and I feel like it's safe for me to be who I am and for that to be a good thing. So I think you are spreaders of joy already and expressers of joy. And so that was really one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. I guess to start with, does that idea resonate with you? Is it something you think about? The kind of desire to be somebody who is quite intentional about what they put into the world.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I love this. There was quite a moment in my life where basically I kind of got to a bit of a crossroads and I was going through a really tough time and I felt like I was kind of presented with two choices and I was in a really angry, frustrated place and I could continue down that route. Or I could choose to tap into who I truly am and go down this different route and go all in and choose to be more me. And I discovered a quote that said, "Be the change you wish to see in the world." And that was the exact quote I needed in my life at that time. And I feel like that really embodies that. Like when we decide who we truly are and embody that and put that out into the world, it comes back to us. So for me, be the change you wish to see in the world has been a massive shift because I was in really quite an angry, frustrated place. And when I decided to move into a place of where I wanted to put love, kindness, joy, togetherness into the world, that changed my life, that positioning. And it was that move from not seeking the happiness, but being and bringing the joy for sure.
I love that. And just to also expand on that as well, Natalie, like Charlotte's story, it's such a profound story because I know when this kind of happened for you, Charlotte, we were kind of working together and you shared with me that in that moment, what you did was fully empower yourself through a choice. And this is something we talk about in the membership and in the work that we do, is that we get to empower ourselves through that choice that we all have. And I think when we think about what we're wanting in life, what we're striving for, you know, happiness, joy, fulfillment, love. It kind of starts within, doesn't it? It starts with that choice to be, like Charlotte said, be the change. Or the way I love to think of it when we kind of we think specifically about joy is to bring the joy, because it is an energy and it's a decision. I also appreciate sometimes it can feel hard to bring the joy, but it's then kind of going back into that kind of like, why? What's that going to do for me if I bring the joy, find the joy, I'm stepping into a certain energy. And when I do that, like you've kind of explained, Natalie, when we obviously have our interactions, you feel more lifted, more joyful. It's what does that create around us? Because it has the most beautiful ripple effect, not just for ourselves, but for those around us as well. If we bring the joy, we get to feel it, and those around us get to feel it as well. So it is a real, what you said, it is a real intention.
It's so true, and it's such an important part. I have a question for each of you. Charlotte, what I'm interested to know is, back when you felt that way, when you felt angry and you felt stuck and you had all those emotions that were really hard to deal with, do you remember what it was that made you at first realize that it was time to kind of look inwards? And if so, what was it? What was the catalyst that made you do that?
Yeah, so this is really interesting, actually, and I'll try and kind of do this in a shorthanded version. But I had basically been exposed to a little bit of self-development back in January 2021. So I wanted to start a business and I wanted to make a difference in the world. And I set out on that journey. And thank goodness the community that I joined back then kind of had this self-development aspect. So I started to journal and I started to just kind of go inwards a little bit. I was very much dabbling because I was not really going deep back then. But what I did notice was the things that were holding me back. So I noticed one of the things in particular that was holding me back was I didn't feel like I'd been through enough to say what I wanted to say. So to start the business, which was the Authentic Girls Club, I didn't feel like I'd had enough challenges to then say, you know, and share all that I wanted to share. And a week later, my two dogs were stolen. And I was kind of, for me as a big animal lover, was just thrust into, it was a nightmare I'd actually had many times. And it became my reality. And I am such a trusting person that I feel like that situation just basically, it just exposed me for who I am and kind of exposed all of my true values and really tested them because, like I say, I'm trusting and, you know, I'm a loving person and I believe in community. I believe in us coming together as humans and doing good in the world. So when that happened, it was a real kind of attack on my values, really. And I think this is what got me to that place of having to choose, do I decide to leave those values behind? Or do I decide to go, this is me, and I'm going to continue to be that way and to be the change? I remember feeling so far away from myself. And when I say I kind of had that choice of continuing to be angry and frustrated, what I realized was that was making me like them because the people who took them weren't happy inside. Like, how could they be to do something like that? But it made me look at my values and just go, this is me. Like, this is what I want to put out into the world. So I think that kind of inner work and awareness that I quite unknowingly really built before that happened completely shifted my outlook. And it made me kind of realize that the universe really dished me my worst nightmare to go, you asked for something, here you go. It was not what I wanted. And I am very careful with my words from then on. But it made me see it in such a different light. And when we picked the boys up, so I was calling them my boys, Denzel and Welly, they arrived into the police car, in a police car each. They were two black Labradors. And they got out of that police car and they greeted every single person in that police yard. And I remember worrying that they would have lost their trusting nature, and they hadn't. And for me, that was such an inspiration that carried forward, because I was like, they're the ones that have gone through this. If they've not lost who they are, how can I lose who I am? And I made many conscious shifts from then to really focus on being the person who continued to trust, being the person who continued to see the good, be the good, and bring the good to the community that had been built through such an awful time. So that's a bit of an overview onto how I kind of went inwards. And I think this is it. It's not about kind of being happy all the time, because I've been through some really sad times. But when we go inwards and when we can be peaceful within and be joyful within and find those values and appreciate those values within us and not lose them, we can navigate life a lot better and kind of come from a place of choice more so than you know, kind of the external circumstances take us on a different path.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Charlotte. I'm so glad you got your dogs back. That must have been awful to go through that. I have so many questions I want to ask you, but before I lose the thread of what I was going to ask Kat, I'm going to go to that question and then come back again. Because Kat, one of the things that you said got me thinking about a conversation I had with a friend. This was many, many years ago, but the conversation stuck with me because we were talking about how sometimes we just get sick of being the one who has to be the bigger one, the one who has to rise above, and the one who has to find patience and be the bringer of joy. And so when you were talking about kind of the energy that we bring to the table and the choice that we have to do that, I wondered if you also ever experienced that sense of like, oh, come on, everybody else, like I'm really pulling here, cut me some slack, or kind of come with me. Like, do you ever get to the point where you feel that sense of like, it's always me, I'm always the one who has to do this? Or have you found a way for that also to feel joyful?
That's a great question. There's definitely been times where I've been like, seriously, guys, am I the one that's always leading here? Am I the one that's always got to be the energy to help everybody else? And we're all human, right? We're all human. We're going to have times when it's easy to do that. And also times where it feels a little bit more challenging, especially like in a home environment, if you've got kids, partners, if you're kind of the, I suppose, the leader of the good energy. I definitely feel it in my home environment. If I'm kind of not where I like to sit at most of the time, there's a shift in the whole household and I can feel that. And I suppose what I'd say on that is, first of all, being kind and compassionate and patient and loving to ourselves first is so key here, because especially being women as well and having certain cycles throughout the month, there's going to be a time in the month where I possibly don't have as much energy to bring the joy for those around me that I would at a different part of the month. So it's being really compassionate to myself and being okay with that. I suppose in those moments, it's just having that awareness that I'm kind of taking a little bit of a step back and being okay with it. And also knowing that when I do bring the joy, which is where I like to sit at most of the time, 9 times out of 10, I am doing it for me. And it's actually if I can get myself into that good space through the things that I do, which I can control and have a choice over, the byproduct and the ripple effect just naturally happens. So it's kind of seeing it as more, I suppose it's a reposition of, oh God, why do I have to keep doing this? Whereas actually, no, it's my choice to do it because first of all, I feel good.
Yeah, that makes such sense. And I guess it ties back into what Charlotte, what you were saying about kind of being the change you want to see. The first thing that has to happen is you have to be the change in yourself and then recognize that once you become that, that everywhere you go and everything you face, the person who can hold your hand is you. And the more that relationship is cultivated, the bigger the challenges you can face, and you can reach for your own hand and be like, it's okay, I've got you. It's okay. And I think maybe that's the thing that makes the big difference.
100%. That relationship with self is everything. And I think as much as I've been through some tough times, I'm so grateful to those tough times because it's brought me back to myself and I've been able to be that for myself. And I think it is such a powerful journey to go on. And one of the things we say that we do in the membership is build your best life from the inside out. Because when you get the inside right, the outside flows with much more ease.
That makes such sense. So one of the things I wanted to ask you was, what are some of the things that you would teach people? So if somebody's listening to this and you're saying, build from the inside out, I guess for the majority of people listening, they already have started some form of self-development and some looking inwards. But what are some of the things you would encourage people quite practically to do to help them build that relationship and be more intentional about what they put into the world?
From a practical level, we are big advocates of journaling. We spend so much time up in our heads, in overthought, in, you know, it can get really, really noisy up in our minds. And what journaling does as a tool is really kind of help you almost quieten the mind a little by getting those thoughts out of your head and onto paper. It allows you also to kind of then detach a little bit from those. So not seeing the thoughts that are going on in our minds as part of you. You know, it's I'm thinking this, so therefore I am. It doesn't have to be that way. Like, we can change our thoughts and our beliefs and our stories about ourselves. So journaling kind of allows that space to breathe and kind of just, I suppose, assess what's going on internally, but also to, yeah, kind of break that detachment so it doesn't, you know, mean that the thoughts are you. So journaling is a really, really great tool. And I know both Charlotte and I, we love to ask ourselves on paper, how are we? Because we often ask everybody else how they are, but to kind of go inside and start that journey and kind of build that relationship with self, we've really got to get to know ourselves. So we can start by literally asking, well, how am I today? How am I feeling? And just see where that takes us. And then it's really going on a journey of self-discovery. Like we say, we love to get curious with what's going on inside, with how we're thinking, feeling, behaving. And especially when it comes to change, kind of creating that time and space for ourselves to raise that awareness with thoughts, feelings, and behavior. That's how we get to know ourselves. And then we can kind of say, right, well, I have the awareness of what I do in terms of thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. Like, what do I love about that? What do I want to keep about that? Is there anything that maybe I don't love so much about that? And in terms of, let's say, if we're thinking about thoughts, if we're starting to notice thoughts that don't serve us, so, or let's give an example. So let's say we're wanting to do something and it probably requires a little bit of confidence to do it. If the thought pattern, the thought process is, there's no way I can do this. People like me don't do these things. I can't do that. Is that thought process really, really going to help us? Is that the best relationship we've got with ourselves? Because if we, again, remove our thoughts from ourselves for a moment, and this is a process we've done in the membership, actually, where we've kind of asked our members to say, well, if it was a friend doing that thing where they require the confidence, what encouragement, advice, words would we give to them? Would I say to Charlotte, oh, Charlotte, I wouldn't, you're not confident enough, you can't do that. People like you don't do those things. Like, I absolutely wouldn't, because I care for her, I love her, I want to encourage her and I want to empower her. So therefore, we're shifting that dialogue for ourselves as well. So that's the shift in the relationship to becoming our own best friend, to becoming our own coach, our own cheerleader. And it's only through, first of all, raising that awareness, which just bringing journaling back in as a tool to do that on reflection, kind of it's thinking about our thoughts, which many of us are like, really? Come on. I don't even got the time to do that. But that's the starting point, because that's the starting point to changing that relationship with ourselves, so we can be that person for ourselves to notice what's going on and go, right, well, does it serve me? Great, continue. Does it not? Okay, well, what do I need to do differently here? I need to retrain my brain, reprogram my brain to think differently. And if we have that belief that thoughts and stories and beliefs can be changed, we're totally off the blocks.
So just to touch on that a little bit more. So we have a very particular process that we kind of take our ladies through in the membership, which is to take note, to take responsibility, and to take action. And we do this through journaling and very intentionally throughout our weeks and our months. And that is just such a powerhouse trio, because without one of those things, we're not living that life. We're not experiencing that joy, because we could be taking all the action. We could be taking responsibility for our life, stepping up, bringing the joy, taking all the action. But if we're not taking note and seeing and celebrating all that we're doing within, we're going to get burnt out. We're going to just keep running into that exhaustion, because we can only hold that energy for so long. So we've got to give that energy back to ourselves by taking note, by celebrating all that we're doing, by seeing who we are, all that we are doing. And another example, for so if we were taking all the responsibility taking note, but if we weren't taking the action, we're not going to get close to where we want to go. So that obviously takes a level of courage as well. So through journaling, through going through this kind of self-empowerment process every week, every month, it's a real power trio to create that life that we want to live and build that relationship up within.
That makes such sense. And I guess for any imbalance in that trio, so if we're taking note, but we're not taking responsibility or action, we can end up in the same bind, just as we can take too much responsibility,
yes,
without really noticing what's happening or being able to take action. So any one of those out of balance throws the whole thing off, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because to take responsibility, that's when taking responsibility is a heavy one if no one else around you is taking responsibility, because that's what we were talking about before, is it can feel a lot and you're like, come on guys, step up and do this as well. But it's that shift into then taking that action, taking note, seeing yourself being that change, seeing yourself bring that energy and really celebrating it.
I recorded a series of podcasts recently about what it means to have a pessimistic explanatory style. In other words, the way we explain events to ourselves and the way we make meaning, and what it means to do that with optimism and what it means to do it with pessimism. And really interestingly, because most people don't identify as pessimists, and I would never have identified myself as a pessimist, but one of the things that is a hallmark of pessimism is too much responsibility. Because what we will do is we'll look at a situation and we'll go, well, yeah, that's because of me. Like, it was because of what I did. And there are other elements to pessimism about how permanent do you see this thing being, and how pervasive, like, does it spread to other areas? And pessimists tend to say, it's personal to me, it's my fault, it's something that is enduring and therefore is going to last beyond this event and is going to last for a period of time. And that those things can make us feel helpless. So it's really interesting seeing your take note, take responsibility, take action. Because again, one of the things that gets us out of overthinking is the taking of action. But action in the absence of the other two, again, it's a recipe really for burnout. And I think that's what a lot of us are trying to do. We're trying so hard to act our way out of whatever it is that we're stuck in. And then when we can't, we sort of collapse and numb feelings, maybe with food or shopping or alcohol or social media or something, because we're like, I can't do anymore and I'm so tired, but nothing's working and it's all my fault. And it's like that sort of vicious circle. So one of the things I wanted to ask you, Kat, as you mentioned, thinking about our thoughts. But of course, overthinkers can sometimes get really trapped in their heads. And sometimes we can think ourselves into such a bind. And then we're like, the way I imagine it is often like, you know, if you were to take a really big ball of sticky tape that you'd unrolled it and then you've balled it all up. And you, no matter how hard you try, you can't let go of it because it just sticks to one hand and then the other. And I often think of thoughts that way when you're like, oh, don't be so negative. Think positively. Think positive. I can't think positively. I'm freaking out. But you need to think positively. And it's like, brruh, brruh. What would you say is happening in those moments? And what's the key to getting out of them if you're stuck in your head, even though your intention is really to try and turn yourself around?
Great, great question. And I can really relate to this because I used to be a prolific overthinker, like to a crippling point of doing nothing. So I really relate, first of all. So I think there's a few things we can do to help with that. If we're feeling just trapped in overthought, the biggest way to kind of break out of that and kind of, you know, just kind of free the mind a little bit and just step away from the noise and the busyness is taking some kind of action. So for instance, if it's an overthought, so for me personally, if there's like repetitive overthinking, obsessing over a thing that I'm not doing, but I want to be doing, for me personally, if I do something, I remove that overthinking. So any small step forward, any form of action, like action taking really, really helps with diminishing that overthought if it's a particular thing. If the overthinking is, like you said, Natalie, that example of like, oh no, that's a negative thought, I shouldn't be thinking negative, just think positive, right? Our brains aren't just going to go, okay, let's just think positive then, especially if we've practiced and got really habitual at negative overthinking. So what I say in those instances are, and this is where it comes back to loving on ourselves like we would somebody else, is just show yourself some compassion in that moment. No, just notice simply at this stage, like just notice the thought, almost thank it, because it's going to have some sort of positive intention behind it to keep us safe, maybe to protect us from something. So it's kind of noticing the thought, thank it, allow it to pass. And then there's a moment where you could kind of choose differently. Like, what would a better thought, what would a more serving thought be? And this is where it gets to get a bit exciting, in terms of like, it doesn't need to feel forced and hard when we're kind of reprogramming, essentially. We can look at it as like, I'm sure I've said in the past, haven't I? Like trying on new jackets, like, oh, does this jacket feel good? And just getting a bit inquisitive and curious with new thoughts, and just kind of see how those new thoughts make you feel, because ultimately it's the thoughts, whether they're conscious or subconscious, that are going on in our minds that generate feelings within. And then that's where we kind of act upon those feelings. So if we want to say change behaviors or do things differently, it's kind of going back to that initial thought process or the belief that creates that feeling. So yeah, just getting curious about it. Just allow yourself to notice the thought, let it pass, and just see in that moment if there's a, it's about, I think it's, is it Gabby Bernstein, Charlotte, that says about choose again? So there's a choice in the moment. That's the thought that came up. Okay, thank it, allow it to pass, but I've got an opportunity now to choose again. But just be so patient and compassionate with yourself, because if you're thinking about your thoughts, you're there maybe because you're wanting to change them and you're wanting to be better and feel better. So just really know that you're on this journey, and again, treat yourself as you would a friend that's wanting to shift, you know, some thought patterns. Just it comes back to that take note of all the things that you are doing. So I hope that helps in terms of overthinking, either taking a bit of action if it's a specific thing, like to move out of it, or if it's just this kind of caught up in, well, I should be thinking another way, just be kind and compassionate with yourself and allow yourself the time and space to choose again.
I think you've kind of nailed it, Kat. I know I have had many moments as well of, you know, stepping into that overthought. And just to bring the journaling back in again as well, if I'm currently on this absolute hamster wheel of thoughts and I'm going, oh, I just want to get out of it, it's creating that pause. And what I will tend to do is grab my journal and I just write out what on earth is going on inside of my head, because when it's in our head, it's so disorganized, it's so overwhelming. We can't see, we're trying to see it all at once, but on the page, you can look at it and you can go almost like if journaling can start as a list, you know, list out what is going on right now. And I'll just list it out. And often there'll be one or two that are bothering me more than the rest. And then the action that I would take then is on those two things, and really practice that kind of courageous action taking, you know, kind of eat that frog. And then take note of it as well.
Thank you. Thank you both. That's really, really helpful. I think it comes back to, Charlotte, you mentioned when you were talking about the dogs and you said, you know, I'm really careful about what I say now because the universe kind of presented me with a challenge that was so big and so emotional for me. And I think tying all of this together, that's been one of the key things that I've sort of discovered on this journey towards becoming more of an expressor of joy is, I guess it's in your model, fitting in the take note category to start with, of now becoming more accepting of situations that feel too big for me and where I encounter my edges of going, oh God, I'm in over my head and I'm scared, or I'm not managing my patience, or I'm getting angry, or whatever it is. And I think the little piece of joy that resides in those tough moments is, I think, in the taking note, A, of the natural response and meeting it with compassion, and B, the realization that the part of us that's going to reach out and hold our hands is there. And when we notice those two things, I think those moments can become, I guess, our teachers. And I think that's perhaps where the joy is, to be like, okay, I'm clearly going through a teaching moment here, because this is something that is, I have to unfold myself in a new way. I haven't encountered this before, or I have encountered it before, but I couldn't take it in that last time, so I'm doing it again. I feel like there's something there with that. And I remember, I wish I could remember where it was. Oh, it was in a book called Start Where You Are by Pema Chodron. And she tells a story of a monk in a cave, and all these demons came in. And at first he was okay with the demons, but then after a while they wouldn't leave, and they were eating his food, and they were taking his stuff, and they were sleeping in his bed, and they were everywhere. And he was like, I need you to get out. And he managed to get quite a lot of them out, but one of them wouldn't leave. And nothing he did would make this thing go, until eventually he went, it's okay, you can stay, I'm fine. And then it left. And that story always comes to me when I'm faced with a part of myself that, for want of a better phrase, I'd like to punch in the face. You know, where you, those moments where you encounter a bit of you, where you just think, oh, this is the worst of me, and I don't want to share it with anyone else. Why am I like this kind of thing? And then that story comes to me where I think, this is one of those moments. This is the moment where I have to accept that part and let it be. And in so doing, I guess that brings us full circle back to compassion, and then the ability to act in ways that are reconnected with our intentions. So thank you for helping me think all of that through. I haven't actually been journaling a lot lately, so this conversation is definitely going to get me back into that practice, because I think it's such an important way to make sense of some of the things that we think. Before we close up, I think there'll be a lot of people listening who are like, I definitely need Kat and Charlotte in my life. I definitely need the Authentic Girls Club. Can you tell me a little bit about the membership and what's on offer at the moment and how people can join?
Yeah, absolutely. The membership is currently open. So we are open until next, I want to say Tuesday, Kat, is that right?
Yeah, it closes on the 30th of April.
Yes. So currently doors are open to enrollment, and the membership is really there for women to come and rise together. And I think the community aspect of what we do, we create this authentic space for women to build their best lives from the inside out. And it's really about doing it consistently, because when you're in a space with women doing it together, you do it a lot more. And I think sometimes we can get back into the habit of putting ourselves last and putting everybody else first. So for us, it's about really carving out that time for our ladies to give themselves what they need and to work through the process that we've obviously talked about today, and really nurture themselves so that they are in that place where they can go and create on the external, all the external stuff, but also give from a full cup instead of a depleted one. So the membership is currently open. It is also well worth getting in before doors close on Tuesday, because we have our signature three-figure program coming up in June, which is a part of the membership if you get in now. So it is one of those that's like perfect timing for this podcast, guys. It's quite a saving. And in that signature program, we really deep dive into dreaming big and actually creating a bigger vision for our life, and not just setting goals. It's about creating the routines that are going to bring all of the desires that we all share as humans together, so that we're really living a fulfilled life.
The membership really is a space of doing because we, you know, it's not just a space to consume more information, more knowledge. Yes, there are learnings. We have our self-coaching academy, which is part of the membership that you get instant access to. So there is, you know, you can learn at your own pace, but we have live calls throughout the month, various opportunities to join us live. And that is all about the doing. We do the work in the call, so you don't have to then go and carve more time. So it's really about implementation. So it's the action piece of the puzzle, and we get to do it together and celebrate each other and support each other throughout our journeys. So yeah, it's a truly incredible space to be in. And like Charlotte said, a massive saving if you join this month, because you will access that three-figure program at your membership rate, which is just £28 a month. So just under £1 a day to build yourself up from the inside out.
Yeah, and then we also have a retreat coming up, which is super exciting. So that is our third retreat. So Empowered Woman Retreats is something that we run with an incredible lady called Sam. We obviously bring all of our coaching to the retreat. Sam brings her rapid transformational therapy, which is incredible. And then we have breathwork and a lake swim amongst all of that goodness to really take our ladies through the process of taking responsibility, taking action, taking note, and embodying it all throughout that day to really meet their most empowered version of themselves and really gain that through that experience. So yes, that is happening on May the 18th. So yeah, if that's okay, we'll drop the link in. And if anyone wants to check that out in the show notes, we'll drop that in there.
That sounds amazing. The retreat and the membership, both. Absolutely. So yeah, if you're listening to this and it's before April 30th, 2024, then have a look at the links in the show notes, or just Google Authentic Girls Club. You'll find everything you need to know, and all the links are there for the membership and for you to join. And now is a great time to get in if you want to make that saving. Ladies, thank you so, so, so much for joining me. It's been a huge pleasure talking to you. As always, I learned so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been amazing to chat. Thank you.